this is Stay Standing. You guys can continue to play. Man, I feel good. I'm charged up tonight. I believe that God is getting ready to move us into some new levels, and I'm excited about it. How many feel that God's getting ready to move you up to some new levels? And I'm just charged. And listen, I want you to submit to it, because it takes you submitting to it. Because once you do that, God will break it open in your life. But if you resist it, you'll stay in that same place of anxiety and complacency, and you won't get any further. But I believe God wants to break it open into our life so we can stay up into that level and continue, like the Bible says, to go from faith, and from glory to glory. But it takes a submission to it. Because if you don't, that fight will continue in your life until one or two things happen. You die spiritually, or you finally get it and say, you know what, I will take that step, because I believe that when I take that step, what's waiting for me on the other side is greater from where I am right now in my life. But it takes that. And so I just want to encourage you, as we go into this message tonight, to stay in an attitude of prayer, different stuff also in our services, to help us stay in that attitude the whole night. And so tonight, as we continue, you guys can look up on the screen. Just stay standing for the reading. Luke chapter 22, verse 39 to 42, it says, "And Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you will not fall into temptation.' He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, take this from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.'" How many of you know that if Jesus said pray so that you don't fall into temptation, he meant it, because it's a reality? Because you can be tempted to fall back and not really to embrace what God has for you. And as he was going into the next season of his life to give his life, he's facing this very temptation now. And this is why he was born. You can be seated. I could preach the whole night with you standing up, but I know you're not going to be okay, so just go ahead and sit down. This is why he came. For this very moment. So that we could be here today saying, "Let faith rise up. Oh heart, believe. Let faith rise up in me." About to do. And that communication and that community that he had with God during that garden experience was so pivotal, because it was at that point that he had a choice. You see, many of us always relate to the deity of Jesus, but we forget about the humanity of Jesus and that side, that while he was here on the earth, he left a part of him in heaven so that when he was here, he could live like you and I lived, so that he can experience that. And so his death on the cross meant that it was not only that it was finished and complete, but he can relate to us not only as deity and as God, but also as a human. And so we're at this point in the garden where something has to give. Jesus knew it was coming. The disciples had an idea that it was coming. And the warfare that was taking place was something that you and I could not even imagine at this point. Because, you know, not only was the enemy in his ear, but he was having to battle his own will and his own thoughts at that time. Because you know that as a human being, it's the very thing that you have to battle when push comes to shove, whether or not that you're going to do God's will or not. And the warfare sometimes is so great that you have to make a decision. And Jesus gets to a point where he says, and the Bible says a couple of verses down, where he sweat, where it was like great drops of blood because the warfare was so intense. Some there, but we're going to say for the sake of it that it was there. Because it was so intense. Because this was going to be the final sacrifice that was going to set mankind free forever. And Jesus had to come to the point where he made that decision for himself, was actually going to go through with this. He had a choice. And because of that choice, I believe the warfare was so great. But he made a decision, because there comes a point in your Christian life or in your life where we hear this term, the tipping point, where something has to give. where something has to change. And Jesus knew that at this moment, that his decision to move on and to take this next step and say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, was the very reason why he came. But he still had to make the choice to do it. It was all leading up to that, but it was decision time. And that very decision that he made is why we are here today in our life. Something's give. Something had to give. It couldn't just stay the same. It couldn't be that way anymore. The law, the prophets, all in the Old Testament, everything was coming to this point and had to be fulfilled. He came into that time according to God's predestined plan and purpose. It was that time, and God said, listen, this is the time for you to come. This is the time for you to die. But Lord, if it's possible, take it from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Have you ever been there in your life where you said, if it's possible, take this from me? But nevertheless, I'll do it. And I think Jesus shows us the example of what it means to be a true follower of Christ. Taking it all the way to the point of losing his life for us. And so as believers here in this room today, that has to be something that we can identify with in our walk with Christ, because of that experience that took place in the garden and because of what happened on that cross, we have an example of what it means to live like Jesus because of that experience. And so when you think of your life, sometimes it's like the cost of not changing sometimes is greater than you actually changing. Sometimes you staying the same is actually costing you in your life. Because it's holding back those things and it's holding off those things that God wants to bring into your life. But if we don't take a step and say, okay, I'll submit to it and I'll change, it only harms us. And as we get deeper into this, you'll see what I'm talking about. Change is inevitable. Change is what God wants to bring into our life. He didn't come so that you can just stay the same. His death on the cross and why he died was not so that you can stay in the same struggle and the same bondage in your life and never see freedom. Him giving his life away. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Him dying on the cross and giving his life away for you was now that you can stay stuck in a situation struggling with the same thing over and over and over again. That means it'd be a cheap sacrifice. But we're not talking about a cheap sacrifice. We're talking about the sacrifice that was made once for mankind. That sacrifice now is sitting in heaven, ever living to make intercession for you and I, so that you don't fall into temptation. So that when it does come for you to walk in God's will, you can say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And so God is looking for that in us. And maybe here today, and that's where you're at, where something has got to give. And God is so good that God will allow you to stay in a situation only so long until you have a choice to say, you know what? I'm either going to say yes to what God is asking me to do, or I'm going to move on. You know, God comes to us because he loves us, and his love never fails. Never fails. But there are other people who can do what God wants. Do you agree with that? But I believe there'll never be another you that God wants to work through. And you have to understand, and like Jesus did, in essence what Jesus was saying, well, listen, my life is not mine. It's not mine. And so if Jesus had to forfeit his life and say to God the Father that this is not mine, it's yours, then that same response has to come from you. Because if you really want to see God do something great in your life, then your response has to be, you know what, it's not mine. And in reality, you know it's not yours. You know that everything that has been created, it's God's. The creation is God's. The money is God's. Your life is God's. The very breath of God lives inside of you right now. It's causing you actually to catch your breath. And so it's all God's. And so when you begin to realize that it's not yours and it's his, then you can live freely in your life, really to do what God has called you to, worried about the outcome. And I think that's where most of us get tripped up is, well, what's the outcome if I give it up? The outcome is you get Jesus. You get his peace. You get his presence. No matter what takes place, you're able to say, peace be still. And that verse and that portion of that verse that I got me, it is well with my soul. No matter what, you can say it is well with my soul. Come wind, come water, it doesn't matter. I can still stand in it because I know who is with me. That's who you have with you. You exchange your life and he gives you his life. It's a great exchange. And so you can be content in any circumstance because you know that he is with you. And that's why the fight is so great in your life. Because the enemy knows that once you begin to possess the gift that is actually Jesus Christ, then the things that actually trip you up or think that try to get you to think differently won't anymore. Because you know that the life that you have is not yours. If you lose it, good. Not necessarily physically, but if you lose your life, if you lose your will and say, okay, Lord, not my will, but yours be done, good, because you know better than I do, and it's not mine anyway. Come on, Jamie. In a way. I'll call you out. It's okay. But listen. And so just like Jesus, he took the life, he broke the life, and there came life. And so you're afraid of giving up your life because of the cost and what it means. And you don't realize that just like 2 weeks ago when we showed that picture of that girl with that little bear behind her back, and then Jesus had the big bear behind his back, that what that little thing you're trying to give up, if you just give it up to Jesus, he says, listen, I got this big thing here for you that it's going to make that little thing look like nothing. And sometimes God will just ask you for your life because you're holding on to it so tightly that he can't even get in. And most of us in here know that your life is not your own. We're Christians in here, and we say it in word. But when it actually says, you know what? Lord, wherever I go, wherever you want to take me, I'm okay with it. That's a sign that you're maturing in your relationship. Done. So it's not about you controlling, but you allowing God to, he wants you to be in your life because you know that he already is there. And I think most of us, if we're honest in here, we read scriptures like this, and we talk about it, and we're excited about it around Easter, but the idea of what he actually had to go through actually scares us. And we say, thank God, him, not me. But in your own life, I'm telling you, every one of us is on our way to some sort of cross where you're going to have to nail your life up in that cross, nail your will, nail your desires, and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Because you know why he came. The Bible says that he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so, as a Christian, as a believer, your life, when put in God's hand, is not for the sole purpose of you getting what you want to get out of your life. It is actually for someone else's benefit. Your yes is someone else's blessing. When you say yes to God, and when you allow God to do that work in your life, what happens is that now you give God an opportunity to use your life to bless someone else. Isn't that what he does? You possess something that someone else needs, and God wants to use you into that other person's life. And so if I can give my life up to him and know that there's a greater picture and that I'm actually a blessing waiting for somebody else, it should excite me. Because most of the time, you go through something not for you. God does something in you, he frees you from something, and it's a great experience, but his thought and his idea is for that person over there who needs it. You know, you come in contact with people every single day that God has given you an opportunity to be that person that he's called you to be. Every day. And because of what Jesus went through, we're here today celebrating, about to celebrate Easter, because of that sacrifice and that gift that he made so wonderfully for each one of us. And so the idea now is for us to follow suit and follow that example and say, okay, God, you can use me because I know that someone else needs it. What if you were to look at your life differently and you were to say, just like Jesus, the Bible says that for the joy that was set before me, endure the cross, you were to say to yourself, you know what, for the joy that's on the other side of this thing, I'm going to endure. Do you know why? Because the joy far outweighs the sacrifice. Far outweighs. And you know the joy. It's a different type of joy. The joy that God gives us to know that we're partnering with him in suffering. We're partnering with him in death, though not physically, but dying to self. And then also partnering with him in resurrection. Oh, it's a glorious experience. When he resurrected from that grave and he showed himself for 40 days and then he finally ascended into heaven. Listen, can you imagine the feeling that he had when he went down and he defeated death and hell and took the keys back? Then he got up and he showed his people, hey, I'm real. Touch it. Just touch it. Touch it. Touch my side. What else do you want? I could go through walls too. Watch. Can you imagine the joy that he had knowing that he came and he finished it and knowing that that would never have to be again? And not only that, he saw return to the Father actually doing what he's called to do and the celebration that took place? There's no crying in heaven. There's no crying in baseball. Movie reference. There's no crying up there. There's no one sick. There's no one asking Jesus to heal him. Jesus is sitting on the throne in all glory and power and might, having dominion, holding the keys, holding the earth, holding your life. Day and night, worship's taking place in heaven. People are experiencing depths of joy that you have no comprehension of what that looks like. Because we only see in part and experience in part. And so you serve a God who's in heaven in full authority, in full dominion, in full control, having won. And can you imagine that feeling to know that nothing could ever come against him? And in return, nothing could ever come against you without him knowing about it? Without him understanding what it feels like, but also knowing that any weapon that's formed against you it won't be able to prosper. And to know that God is for you, and if he's for you, who can be against you? This is why songs like this are exciting, because faith should rise up in your heart to know that who is in you, who you serve. You're not talking about, well, some has been or some like maybe he did. No, he did. There is no doubt that he did. And so he wants to draw us into that relationship with him so that we can experience it on a deeper level, because we're the precious ones that he died for. It wasn't a half-hearted sacrifice. You're not looking at a half-hearted God who just died half-heartedly and is like, you know what, I only love them a little bit. You're talking about a God who died with open heart, with open arms, so the world could see and loves you and wants a relationship with you, and whose thoughts, you can't even number the thoughts because they're greater than the sands of the sea. And so a God who loves you and goes to great lengths to show you that he loves you. Do you think that God wants you to walk around in doubt and depression and fear all the time? Because if that were the case, then his sacrifice was weak. The steps that he took weren't good enough. So that we can walk around in bondage and not freedom in our life. Freedom to experience real joy, real peace in our life, to knowing that nothing can ever separate me from God's love. Nothing. And so that I can stand in confidence in my life because of who I am in Jesus Christ. Not that I don't struggle, but I know confidently who I am in Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. And not allowing the enemy to come in and try to pinprick your mind with thoughts of doubt and how you're not loved and how you're not cared for, and how God doesn't really want a relationship with you because of this in your life. As we go into this next season, even in Easter, I believe God wants to take us out of that mindset. Well, you know you're loved. You're loved. You've ever had an experience with God where just out of nowhere, sometimes God will just give you a little glimpse of how much he loves you. You something that you thought about or that you desired in your heart, and all of a sudden, there it was. And it kind of gave you a little confirmation for God to say, you know what, I see you. I know, I see you. I love you. And I think most of us tonight, I think God wants us to know, really all of us, I see you. I see you. They say one of the worst forms of rejection is to feel ignored from someone. Ignored. Just ignored. And sometimes I think in our life we feel like, well, God's ignoring us. And it has nothing to do with God ignoring us. God's eye is always on his kids. But just like last week, we talked about our life is not based upon feeling and based upon, well, I feel like doing this. No, it's based upon our faith in him. To know that he's a loving God who wants to come through for his kids. And if I don't feel it, it's okay because I know it in my heart. And so I want to encourage you tonight that God sees you where you're at, that you are his kid, that he hasn't abandoned you, he hasn't forgotten you. But sometimes in our life, God wants to draw us into a deeper relationship with him, and that requires a new level of faith that we have to walk into. And so that means that our feelings have to be overridden by our will to walk by faith and not by sight. And when that begins to happen as a Christian, to see breakthrough and maturity in your life as you begin to go up a level, because I don't see it, and his eye doesn't matter if I don't see it, I believe, God, that you're good. And all of a sudden, God is able to move you on and begin to show you what it actually looks like. Because I walk by faith and not by sight. And so new levels require new areas and levels of sacrifice. Just ask Jesus. Jesus was about to go to a new level. You know, he was in heaven before, but we're about to take him up into a new level now. New level. Son of God and Son of Man. Complete victory in every area. Listen, make room. Make room. New level of sacrifice, his life. What has God to sacrifice in your life? What is God asking you to let go of so that you can really begin to not just talk about a new level, but walk in a new level? And that means that there has to be a shedding away of the old in order for you to experience the new. And that is one of the most difficult things for us to do, is to shed away the old. Because God goes down in and starts peeling back some layers of our life. And it's a painful experience, but it's a glorious experience if you allow him to do it. Because for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Listen, for the joy that was set before you, that's coming, you can endure it. I'm telling you. The joy far outweighs the process and the pain that you have to go through. But it's getting over the mindset that this is uncomfortable, to say, it's okay, Lord. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And I will come up into the next level of my life, because the cost of me staying like this is actually hurting me in my life. The opportunities that God wants to bring into your life, sometimes they can't come in because we're stuck here. Can we all stand up to our feet tonight? How many would be honest and say, listen, I get in my head way too much. I get in my head way too much. All right. It's all right. Most of us in here do, but it's all right. Listen. The next level, you're not going to be able to wrap your mind around it and try to understand it, because it's too big for you. And so we need a God who is bigger than our mind, because you cannot experience what God is asking you to experience by you trying to control it or figure it out and box it in. It's impossible to do it, because it's faith, and faith exists outside your ability to reason it and to rational it. If you could do it, it wouldn't be faith. And that's why God brings you out of that level and said, listen, if you're going to communicate with me, you've got to do it on a different level of faith. Because that's where I exist. I'm in tune with you, but listen, we exist up here. This is how we do it in our family. And so I'm asking you to come up with me. But listen, you've got to allow me to take you through that area or those areas of your life where you're trying to, like, make sense of it all. Because you can't make sense of it. I'll give you the peace to go through it, but you can't make sense of it. Because it's going to be very difficult for you to make any progress with me if you try to understand your way all the time. It's impossible to do it. The Bible even says it. How can we understand our own way? And so God wants us to go his way. And I believe tonight, as we close out with this song again, Let Faith Arise, O Heart Believe, I believe that God wants to really bring us into that level and break us through that level to where we actually do believe it. Not only do we believe it, we start to live it, and we start to experience God in a new level in our life, so that we're not experiencing the same old process in our life, but we're experiencing the new in our life. Real joy, real peace, real fulfillment. And to know that you're loved and that you're accepted and that God actually calls you His. You're His.